Very good. All right. Thank you. What a wonderful song that was. I'm so glad that the winds and the waves still know him. And some of you can get up this morning and testify of the goodness of God, even in 2023. If you have your Bibles, please open it with me this morning to the book of Matthew. We'll be looking together at just a portion of the Lord's Prayer. We'll be looking at Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10. So if you have your Bibles, please open there with me. I want to thank our pastor for giving me this opportunity to speak this morning. I'm so thankful to be here. Of course, after last week, I'm glad to be anywhere. I was out with a stomach bug last week, so isn't that a glorious way to spend Christmas? Amen. But we got through that okay, and I'm still in the land of the living. I'm so grateful for that, and glad to be with you this morning to study God's Word. You know, I want to say congratulations to all the Georgia Bulldog fans out there. I want to be a good sport today as a Florida State fan myself. And, you know, I learned last night that I have got treasured friends all over the world, because I got messages all night from people worried that I may not know what the score is. So I appreciate all of you, and there's no way to put a price tag on friendships like that. Amen? So all kidding aside, congratulations, Georgia Bulldogs, on your victory last night. So 2023 is coming to a close. And it's hard to believe that this year has flown by so quickly. You know, and for many of us, 2023, we're ready for it to pass away into the ash heap of history. But as we look into 2024, perhaps we have questions about the future. Maybe we have fears about the unknown. There are uncertainties of what will unfold for us in the coming year. You know, someone has well said that our year, but in the one who makes all things new. Amen? Our hope is not found in a new year, but in the one who makes all things new. As I began to pray about this message this morning, my mind was directed to this text we're going to be looking at this morning. And above all, I want us to be reminded, listen, that Jesus Christ is still on the throne of heaven. Jesus is alive, and he is ruling and reigning over all the universe, and he knows exactly where we are. Nothing ever catches him off guard. He has not surrendered his sovereignty and authority to anyone. So our text this morning comes from the very lips of the Lord Jesus as he teaches kingdom principles in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. You know, a large part of his sermon had to do with prayer. Now, the Pharisees had turned prayer into a show. For them, it was all about showing off their pseudo-piety. It was liturgical and mechanical and self-focused. Therefore, Jesus sought to teach his disciples, and he wants to teach us as well, some principles on prayer. So he provided for us this model prayer. So this model prayer is truly a masterpiece. And time doesn't allow us this morning to explore all the depths of this prayer. However, I feel compelled this morning to focus our thoughts on our submission to the will of God. And I want us to listen this morning as we look together at verses 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what exactly does Jesus mean by these statements? Notice that Jesus said, pray in this way, and don't pray these words. The prayer opens with the acknowledgement that God is our Father. We have a unique relationship with the God of heaven, and his name is to be hallowed. His name is never to be misused or mischaracterized because of Because he is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth, we should desire for his will and not our will to be accomplished on earth, just as it is perfectly done in heaven. Now, this speaks of our submission to him and his will for us. Now, there's two observations I want us to make this morning about verse 10. Verse 10. First is the sovereignty of God, but secondly is the submission of God's people. And we're going to explore both of those this morning. First, I want us to look at the sovereignty of God. Your kingdom come, as we see in verse 10. When we hear this prayer recited, we usually emphasize the words kingdom and will. And so it sounds much like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we pray this prayer and we have no idea what we're saying. We have no idea what we're asking. Listen, God's kingdom is his sovereign rule over the hearts of men. And in a sense, his kingdom has already come when he left heaven and took on flesh and came into this world 2,000 years ago. And he taught us kingdom principles, and he ultimately died for our sins, and he rose from the dead, and he later ascended into heaven. And today, his kingdom is advanced when sinners repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And they are under his sovereign rule. And at that point, they become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So what I want you to understand this morning, friends, this world is not our home. As citizens of heaven, you and I have a home in heaven awaiting us. It's as if we are already there. And so we're just merely passing through this old sin-cursed, broken, messed up the world. So we're only pilgrims passing through. Some people ask, well, what is this world coming to? Well, I can tell you exactly what it's coming to. It's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Things are not falling apart, they're falling together. Jesus is coming. And 2024 could be the year when Jesus Christ returns. I want to help folks miss hell and make heaven. Don't you? I want to help folks go to heaven. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. Listen, that's what ministry is all about. I'm not in it for the income. I'm in it for the outcome. The Bible teaches two universal fatherhoods, God's and Satan's. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in John 8. And he said, you are of your father Satan, who is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus underscores the fact that those who are outside of Christ, those who have never been born again, those who are unbelievers, have a father known as Satan. It is Satan himself who is their father. And so if you reject Christ, you're a child of the devil. And one day the angels of judgment will drag you kicking and screaming before the judgment bar of the Lord Jesus at the great white throne, where he will pronounce your final doom and he will say, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work iniquity. And you will be cast into the lake of fire along with your father, Satan. That day is coming. That day is coming. But listen, the children of God are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. God does not have any grandchildren. He does not have any nieces or nephews. He has children who have been born again. May I ask you a question? Who is your father? Who is your father? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? I'm not asking you, have you joined a church and been baptized and all that stuff. No, I'm asking you, has Jesus Christ changed your life? That is what's most important. So verse 9 tells us our Heavenly Father's name is to be hallowed. Our Heavenly Father is sovereign. Well, what exactly does that mean, Richard? It simply means that there is nothing that happens outside of God's influence and authority. So as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God has no limitations. Now I want us to consider the following. First, I want us to consider that God is sovereign over the heavens and the earth. He is sovereign over the heavens and the earth. I love Colossians 1:16 that says, God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. So listen, God is the master architect and builder of all that exists. God is not sitting in the wringing his hands hoping that you and I can hold the world together. No, that is his job. God will hold the world together. He hung the stars and the planets all into place, and he calls them all by name. He walks upon the stars with great glory. The stars twinkle in applause to his majesty. And whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does it because he can. Nothing is impossible for God. But listen, it also means that Satan himself has to ask God's permission before he can act. Satan dwells under the authority of God himself. Let me tell you a quick story. Some years ago when we were serving a church in Cartersville, I was sitting in my office one day and the phone rang. And there was the secretary calling me to tell me that there was a man on the line that was panicking over something that was happening in his home, and he wanted a preacher to come by his home and pray over his house. And so I took the call and spoke with the gentleman, and he was panicked, telling me that he's having some weird things happening in his home. He's hearing eerie voices coming through his computer monitor. He's had furniture gyrate up and down off the floor. He's had stuff hanging on the walls, flying around the room, and he's just having weird things happening. And he wanted someone to come pray over his house. Well, I thought he must be some kind of a nut. And so I'm thinking, well, what am I going to do? This was like during holiday season. All the staff was gone. I was in the office by myself, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And so I thought to myself, I know what I'll do. I'll call a deacon, and I'll have a deacon go with me. But it couldn't be just any deacon. It had to be a deacon I could outrun, amen? I mean, I'm not stupid. And so I called up a deacon. Explained to him the situation. He thought I was nuts. And so we got together and drove to this gentleman's home. It was a beautiful home, nice place, very well decorated. You would never think that anything weird was going on. But we went into the house, and he invited us in, and he began to show us all the stuff that had been flying around his room, and the broken furniture, broken pictures and stuff like that that used to hang on the wall. And he said, man, this is the weirdest stuff. I'm hearing these eerie voices coming through my computer monitor. And so I stopped and asked him, well, sir, are you dabbling in the occult? And he said, well, I have been, but I've tried to give that up, but they will not leave me alone. So I asked him, well, who is they? He said, I don't know, but these weird things are happening and I want it to go away. And so there in that house, I began to share with him the gospel of Christ. I said, your greatest need is Jesus, and you need to renounce what's happening in your home by the power of Christ. And so he prayed to receive Christ that evening. And to make a long story short, all this weird stuff stopped. No more. You know why that is? It's because God the Father spoke to the enemy and said, no more. This is now a child of God. He belongs to me, and you have no authority to harass him any longer. So I'm here to tell you that our God, our Father, is sovereign over the heavens and the earth. He is sovereign over the spirit world as well. But secondly, I want to say to you that God is sovereign over the nations. He is sovereign over the nations. The book of Revelation begins with scenes in heaven and concludes with scenes in heaven. But between the two, the beginning and the end, we find intermittent scenes between heaven and earth. And that's by divine design. It's no accident. The reason is that in the apocalypse described in Revelation, we find the full answer to the Lord's prayer. We see God's will being decreed in heaven and then done perfectly on earth. Isn't that beautiful? As crazy as things are in this world today, Jesus is still on the throne. Revelation 11:15 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" So friends, listen, he has decreed that one day that every nation, tribe, and tongue will be gathered around his throne to worship him forever and ever. The question is, how will they get there? The same way you and I will get there. It's through faith alone in Christ alone. These people have been born again by the Spirit of God. Some think that worship sounds like an absolutely boring way to spend eternity. Listen, friends, worship should never be boring. Y'all are quiet out there. Worship should never be boring. Listen, the reason people feel worship is boring is because they have never come to terms with the majesty and glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And this morning, my job is not to come and entertain you. My job this morning is not to make you feel good. It's not to make you feel bad either. But my job this morning is to point you to him, to take a look full into his face and see the wonder of who he is, how great he is, and how worthy he is of praise and glory forever and ever. So our prayer should continually be, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And friends, until the trumpet sounds, let us be busy taking the gospel to the world, because that is the will of God for you and for me. But thirdly, God is sovereign over this church. God is sovereign over this church. This church was founded in 1856 on this very location. The original structure was just a simple log cabin, which accommodated a small congregation. And you can find a picture of it just out this hallway here. It's a quaint little cabin. But God had a divine plan for this church in 1856. And guess what? He still does. Times have changed. People have changed. Leaders have changed. But the mission has remained the same. Last week, I began to think about the servant leaders in our church. Particularly, I've been thinking about our staff that I'm honored to work with day in and day out. I began to think about our deacons. I think about our Sunday school teachers and our D-Life leaders. I think about those of you who lead in our worship experience each Sunday, our praise band and our choir and orchestra, those who lead us in a variety of ways. I thought about our ushers and greeters and what they do week in and week out. Our church is truly blessed with people who love the Lord and desire to serve him. But here's what I want you to understand. God brought you here for kingdom reasons. God brought you here to bring glory to him. God brought you here for such a time as this. So everyone is important. There is no such thing as an unimportant church member. But God has saved you. He has redeemed you. He has put his Spirit in you. And he has gifted you for the purpose of edifying the saints and bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And so God wants to use you. And maybe you've been one of those that's been satisfied to kind of, you know, ride the pine and, you know, sit on the fence and watch everything happen. Listen, 2024 needs to be the year you get back on the field and you play the game. Church is a team sport. And it's time everyone got involved and served with joy, not because we have to, but because we get to. Amen? We get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through the local body of believers. Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for this church in this community. And God desires to touch the entire globe through this congregation of believers known as Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. We've been here in existence, serving the Lord faithfully for 167 years. And I believe that as long as we are faithful to the mission that God has given us, we will continue to enjoy His favor upon this congregation. Amen? But also this morning, I want us to look at God is sovereign over your life. I want to take it a little bit deeper this morning and probe into your life. God is sovereign over your life. Amen? Our text says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. Listen, God has a plan and purpose for your life. You're not on this world or in this world by accident. But God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your education and your career, your life's partner. He has a plan for your involvement in the local church, but nothing transpires in your life that He does not first permit, because He is sovereign over your life. He has His hand on the thermostat of your life. You know, some of you are here today and you're hurting, and you're here this morning because you're hurting. And you're desperate for God's intervention in your life. Well, friends, listen, you're in the right place. Maybe you're wondering, you know, where is God when I hurt? Well, friends, I want you to know something. He is much closer than you think, because He is in you. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, I want you to know something. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Brother Richard, how do you know that to be true? I don't feel loved. I know it to be true because of the cross of Christ. The cross is all the proof we need of God's unwavering love and commitment to you and to me. Amen? But secondly, this morning, I want us to look at the submission of God's people. The submission of God's people. We've looked at the sovereignty of God. I want us to look at the submission of God's people. The text says, your will be done. So we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let me ask you this. How do you suppose God's will works in heaven? Can you imagine the Lord speaking to His angels and says, guys, I want you to go build me a mansion right over there. What if the angels came to the Lord and said, Lord, we have a problem here. We don't have enough timber. We have a worker shortage. We really don't care for our salary all that much. I mean, can you imagine anything like that happening in heaven? Absolutely not. You know, I am going to suggest to you this morning that in heaven, everything happens exactly the way God wants it, on time, every time. Amen? So when we pray, your will be done, we are declaring, God, we long for it to be like it is in heaven here on earth. God is saying to us that we are kingdom citizens living in this world, and we're to live like it, like we're already in heaven. So every day when we get up, we remind ourselves that I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. This world is not my home. Therefore, I choose to act like a citizen of heaven. Paul said in Romans 12 that God's will is good and perfect. You know, there's two words in our English language that are absolutely incompatible. That's know and Lord. Know and Lord. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" Listen, our Heavenly Father is not impressed with our lip service. He wants our hearts. He wants our full devotion. He wants us to live in utter submission to His will. So when we think about the will of God, we are getting into deep water. I understand, and time doesn't allow me to navigate through some of the treacherous waters of God's will this morning, but to keep this succinct and to the point, I want to point to two things that are important to us as a church this morning. First of all, I want us to consider the will of God for this church. The will of God for this church. You know, there's so much to be said about the will of God for this church, but in the interest of time, I want to narrow it down to what's most obvious. First of all, it is God's will that we carry out the Great Commission. It is God's will that we carry out the Great Commission. Before ascending into heaven after His glorious resurrection, Jesus gave His followers throughout the centuries this command found in Matthew 28. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." So listen, it is God's will that you and I make disciples throughout the world. You know, it'd be silly to try to reconstruct a mission statement for our church when the Lord has already given us a mission statement. He doesn't need our help. He just needs our obedience. Amen? He has the agenda. He's not asking for ours. We must submit to His will for us and obey His command. But secondly, we're to obey the great commandment. We're to obey the great commandment. In Matthew 22, Jesus told the rich young ruler, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So listen, it is God's will that you and I love Him and that we love others and demonstrate that love in tangible ways. But thirdly, it is God's will that we maintain unity in the body of Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:3 that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So all of us as followers of Christ have a responsibility to protect the unity of the fellowship here. So listen, a church that has lost its fellowship is no longer a fellowship, it's a battleship. And tragically, there are too many churches that do not enjoy fellowship, but they enjoy battleship every Sunday. And it's so tragic, and it certainly does not honor the Lord. The Lord wants us to pursue unity in our fellowship. So may that always be true of us. I've always been grateful that in this church we've enjoyed unity and harmony here, and it's our job, all of us, to make sure that we preserve that unity in our fellowship. But fourthly, it is God's will that we follow the spiritual leadership He provides. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So the truth of the matter is, God provides imperfect men to lead the body to accomplish the perfect will of God. This verse is not a license for the leadership to bully or abuse the church, but church leaders will stand before the Lord one day to give an accounting of their stewardship of the church. Your pastor and staff serve here by the will of God. And I'm here to tell you that leaders lead. Our task is to equip and train God's people to accomplish His will. And our primary task is not to try to make everyone happy. Listen, if our goal was to try to make everyone happy, we'd give out ice cream every Sunday, amen? But someone would complain that we didn't have the right flavor. I mean, this is a Baptist church, that's just how it works, right? I mean, somewhere, you know, in Baptist doctrine, there's got to be some grumblers and mumblers. But happiness is a choice, is it not? It's a choice. When we choose to take up our cross and follow Christ, we choose to die to our selfish agenda so that we might take up His divine agenda. Jesus Christ has the plan for this church. And you and I are to take up our cross each and every day and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow You wherever You would have me to go. Thank You for the joy of serving You through Your local body of believers known as Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. Lord, help me to serve You with all my heart and help me to serve You well that I might bring pleasure to Your heart." But secondly, this morning, I want us to consider the will of God for you and me. And this is where the rubber meets the road this morning. The will of God for you and me. Does God have a divine will for you personally? You bet He does. He certainly does. Let me share just a few things that are on the mind of God toward you today. First of all, it is God's will that you're alive today. Take your right hand and place it over your heart. Do you feel your heart beating today? It's sure quiet out there. You feel your heart beating out there? Anybody? Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Your heart is beating today because God wills for your heart to beat. You're alive today because God allows it. Thank Him every day for the gift of life. It is God's will that you're alive today. But secondly, it is God's will that you and I spend eternity with Him. It's not God's will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All of us, apart from Christ, are headed to a devil's hell for all of eternity. But Jesus Christ came into this world to rescue us from the penalty and power of sin. And only those who place their trust in Him will be saved and spend eternity with God. And friends, more than anything, that is His desire for you. He wants you to miss hell and make heaven. He wants you to spend forever with Him. Oh, please do not leave here today rejecting the love of God for you. What a great way to begin 2024 than to be alive in Jesus Christ. But thirdly, it is God's will that you and I be disciple makers. It is God's will that you and I be disciple makers. He called you and me to go out into the world and make disciples of all the nations. One of the great joys of my life is being able to pour my life into other men and to help them grow in Christ Jesus toward the goal of them going and making other disciples of Christ. What a joy it is to me. And I want to invite you to join me in the journey of disciple making. God wants to use you to transform the lives of other men and women. And may 2024 be the year when we see an explosion of D-Life groups as men and women, young people, get involved in small groups and study the Word together. But lastly, it's God's will that we be filled with His Spirit and yielded to His Lordship over our lives. God wants you to know His power being unleashed in and through your life as you're filled with His Spirit. And every day, He wants you to live your life completely yielded to Him. So as we close this morning, let me ask you something. Can you honestly say in your heart, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, friends, if not, may I urge you to humble yourself and submit to His good and perfect will. Friends, listen, there is no time like the present. There's no time like the present. Let me ask you something. Do you desire for 2024 to be the most fulfilling year of your life? Do you desire a life that is blessed of God? Do you desire to be part of a church that is alive and experiencing the presence and power of God in every service we attend? Well, it begins when you and I submit to His will. It begins with submission. God's will for you is good and it is perfect. And we can experience it when we choose to submit to Him. Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us acknowledge God's sovereignty and submit to His lordship. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank You for Your word this morning, and how we thank You that You are still on the throne of heaven. You are still the sovereign ruler of the universe. You are the sovereign ruler over the nations. You're sovereign over this church, and You are sovereign over our lives. So this morning, as we consider that, I pray that each of us will submit to Your sovereignty and choose to live for You, Lord. This morning, I pray especially that You will help every man, woman, boy, and girl to do today what they'll be glad they've done when they stand in Your presence one day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm going to be down front to receive anyone who may choose to come. But my heart is especially heavy for anyone who may be here this morning that's outside of Christ. I pray this morning that you will recognize your need for Jesus and turn to Him before it's eternally too late. And this morning, I would be happy to help you that. Just simply come this morning as we stand and sing in just a moment and say, Brother Richard, I need Jesus in my life. I need to be saved. And we'll have someone sit down with you and share with you how you can know that you know that you know that heaven is your home. Maybe you're here this morning as just a guest, and you've been contemplating uniting with this church maybe for quite some time. Well, we would love for you to prayerfully consider coming today to unite with this fellowship. This is a wonderful church, wonderful people, and we would love for you to join us in our work of reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning with a heavy heart. 2023 has been a tough year for you. And as we look into a new year, maybe this morning you just want to come get on this altar and make a new commitment of your love and devotion to Jesus and to live for Him faithfully in 2024. But friends, listen, this is not my invitation. This is an invitation by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit says, come. From wherever you are, just come. Will you do that as we stand and sing just now?